You know, as biologists, we're looking at not just safeguarding what Louisiana has now, but what we're going to leave to our children. And in order to do that, we also have to inspire our children. And so I'm really hoping that the Nature and Science Center becomes a kernel for that, a nucleus, so to speak.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder, and we're excited to bring you another episode with authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana. It's all the tools that you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
And look, stop me if you've heard this before. Another terrific show. And in fact, this one is a bit of a companion piece to episode 66, the episode prior, the Children's Museum at Port Wonder. We're talking more, though, about the Science and Nature Center portion of Port Wonder. Talk to Mr. Jeff Baer. He is the biologist supervisor there with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. A great conversation, a passionate conversation about entertainment and fun and conservation and their whole mission. Very exciting, and it's a very cool addition to the Lake Charles community coming this way very, very, very soon.
That's right. So we begin the show, though, as we always do, with the taste of Southwest Louisiana. It's a segment we call
Envy Eats.
This week, we went to Shawarma's. This is a family-owned restaurant that opened up in November of 2020. Fun fact, was supposed to open the day that Hurricane Laura made landfall.
Oh, yeah. They found out. This is what he was telling me. He said that they found out just a few weeks before and kind of adjusted their whole planning. But that was the date they circled that doors were to open.
Yeah, well, they did, unfortunately, in a different kind of way. And after some repairs that were needed after Hurricane Laura, like much of the area, they were able to open up and really bring something fun, different to Lake Charles, right there along Ryan Street. Authentic Lebanese food. Exactly what the owner said he was raised on, that his family cooked.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, Mediterranean. And so they use a lot of fresh ingredients, like fresh veggies, fresh herbs, fresh spices, a lot of tastes that maybe you might be familiar with if you do eat some Mediterranean food, but done so probably in a way that it will be new to you unless you have had Lebanese food. There's shawarma. Which, as you know, is the chicken or the beef that they do kind of on the roasting spire, if you will.
Yep. Kind of shaved off. Really good. Crazy tender. Oh, my gosh.
Because, yeah, and so juicy because it's basically super, cooks on itself the way that it's done.
Really well seasoned.
So amazing.
Really good stuff.
Their sandwich is very popular as well. They're on pita bread. It's essentially, though, a build-your-own style restaurant where they kind of have everything laid out in front of you, and you get to choose two of this or one of this or whatever, and it really you get to customize it your way. And it's a very relaxed space. That's what I love about it. I love a restaurant that you don't feel any pressure. You're just there. You know, it's a perfect little atmosphere inside.
What I like is that whenever you're eating a food that is different for you, right? When you're going to a place for the first time, or maybe it's a it's food from a culture that you've just never experienced before, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming or you don't know how to order, right? You don't know what to get. You don't know what anything is.
Yep.
But this is a place that kind of guides you by the hand. And they're like, here, let me show you. What kind of flavors
and
do you like?
And you get to see it.
You get to see it in front of you. Yeah. And just know that it's all crazy fresh and really good. But they kind of, they help you along the way.
Yep,
so
I agree.
So sometimes when food can be intimidating, if you're not used to it, this is a totally different feel. Yeah.
I agree. Well, let's start off with what we did get because it was the most popular. You elected to go with the chicken shawarma.
And I get it like once a week. So this is certainly not my first time eating their shawarmas, but it's, and it will not be my last. I just keep going back. Perfectly seasoned, like I said, very tender chicken. It's all just really, it's just really tasty, really delicious. I don't need it with anything. Sometimes I just order the chicken. No sides, nothing. Because, you know.
That's bold.
But if I'm dieting or something, like this still works. Like this is still a
That's
really
a good, point.
good meal.
Yeah, it's very low calorie depending on what options you choose.
Sure, sure. This time I didn't worry about the calories because I got the seasoned potatoes with it as well, and which are really, really good the way that they're cooked. Well, chopped potatoes, diced potatoes. It really adds to the flavor. It's a hearty meal. Normally it feeds me twice. This time I finished my plate. I just, you know, I said to myself, you can do it, Jill.
And you got the feta salad as well.
Yeah, the feta salad. So really good. Great flavor. It's so fresh. It's got kind of a snap to it, if mm-hmm. you will, with the dressing that they have on it. But the feta cheese is one of my absolute favorites. So you just can't go wrong.
It was too easy.
Too easy. And it's drizzled with their garlic sauce. Sorry, that's right. I almost that's a good point.
They ask you if you want it on the side or on the top, but you know, any self-respected person, just put it all on the top.
Just take it however it comes and ask for extra, actually.
Yeah.
Because the garlic sauce is to die for.
I agree. It is very good. I usually get the shawarma as well, but I decided this time to go with the kebab, the lamb kebab, because I really do like lamb. If you've not had lamb, think of it like, you know, one of the juiciest cuts of steak almost, because mm-hmm. it's a very similar texture and flavor. It's a little more gamey than steak, but it's very, very good. It's so tender, so juicy. And lamb is really a fatty meat. It's one of the more fatty meats that we typically consume. So the flavor is so abundant. They have a nice char on it. I mean, it is just wonderful. On the side of it, I got hummus. So it's served cold, but it's garlicky and there's a fresh taste. And I'm not the biggest fan of like a cold hummus. So what I do, kind of a pro tip, is that I mix it with my rice because the rice is very warm. And so mixing it together mm-hmm. brings it back up to room temperature. And then I kind of eat it all together with the pita and the kebab. So it's almost like I'm making a sandwich then and there.
Yeah.
I also got the baba ganoush. It's very, very smoky, that interesting texture there. Very, very good there. There's two types of rice. I got both, half and half, the lentil and the basmati. The lentil is so well seasoned, very earthy. I thought it was just absolutely amazing. The texture was great because there's obviously some lentils mixed into the rice. Wonderful, wonderful. The basmati is very, very good. Very traditional rice there. Slight sweetness to it. So both are great and wonderful and kind of each their own special thing. So perfect. The pita, what did you think of the pita?
Oh, I loved it. It's got a really great texture to it. It's kind of the thing you didn't know you needed with each meal because, like you said, you kind of end up making a sandwich.
I love that. I love the way Mediterraneans do it with the little flatbread.
Yeah, because you just don't.
It's perfect.
First of all, it's like the perfect instrument to eat your food, right? Like I need it to actually pick up food. And this is one of those dishes that whatever's left on the plate, you want to scoop it up and eat it.
Sure.
So thank goodness for pita.
You don't feel like I love biscuits, for example, but I always feel like a cow because I'm like, oh, here's a giant biscuit
extra.
With it. Yeah, but a pita just feels
part of the meal.
Yes, yes. And so big props to pita people. Big
way
props.
To go, pita bread.
There's also a hot sauce there, almost a paste. It's spicier than harissa, which is that chili paste there. Very, very good, nice complement to everything there. So if you do like hot sauce, ask for it and they'll throw you on there some as well. But the star of the show for Jillian was definitely the dessert.
Kanafi, I hope I'm saying that right, was so unexpected. It was such a surprise that, okay, let me break this down for you. Here's what we got. It's like shredded, like spun pastry dough. Imagine a bird's nest, if you will, of pastry dough.
Yeah, kind of. I'm
like when you spin sugar, how thin that is and brittle, if you will.
Kind of like if you thinly slice like a Wheatie, like almost that texture.
A Wheatie, like the cereal?
Yes.
Okay.
Very similar texture there on the top.
Oh, so much better than Wheaties.
Well, it is, but I'm trying to bring you into the vision.
So it's a spun pastry dough on top of mozzarella cheese with a house-made syrup that they have on top.
I call it a tar.
Yeah, it's this house-made sugar syrup, and it's so good. So you've got this crunch on top, a little bit of a sweetness to it, but the mozzarella cheese is that kind of salty, and it's melted and it's so
thick
good.
And gooey.
And it's just, it's the crazy texture. I wrote down it's a weirdly wonderful dish because it's one of those things that when you describe sweet and salty and it's cheese and it's syrup, you're like, that's not a thing I want to eat. But yes, it is. It is a thing you want to eat. So go eat it.
There's a very real chance that you've never had anything like this.
I couldn't describe it. It was hard for me to compare to anything else I'd ever eaten.
The different textures and the different flavors that all work together. I mean, it was wonderful.
It was very, very good. And apparently it's extremely popular. We spoke to the owner. He said it's popular at their family gatherings that they have. So, man. Is it good? Kanafi. It's very, very good. You should get it, and you should go to Shawarma's to get it.
Their location is very convenient as well. They're just outside of downtown Lake Charles, so whether you're coming from 210, it's just a little trek north, or if you're coming off of I-10, it's just a small trek south. So either way, it's kind of perfectly in between both. Very convenient. Wherever you are in Lake Charles, you're probably not very far.
That's right. Right off of Ryan Street, you don't want to miss it.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Jeff Baer, the biologist supervisor for the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries. He says 25 years in aquaculture. He's raised dozens of different species. And what's cool about him is that he's watched Port Wonder, the whole project, kind of in the early stages from afar. And then with given the opportunity to come back and be a part of it about a year ago, he signed on to come back home and we're all better for it. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, Southwest Louisiana is known for big city amenities, small town charm. It makes for a variety of experiences that somebody can add to their itinerary when visiting. But first, we like to get to know you a little bit better and let our viewers, our listeners know how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, some rapid fire questions here. Crawfish or gumbo?
Definitely crawfish. It's I remember being with my dad and we would actually have to go out and catch them back then.
Yeah.
And we'd take the Pierrot out and we'd fill up the champagne basket and we'd have our big crawfish boil. And so to watch it spread along the Gulf Coast and spread Louisiana culture has just been incredible. Gumbo, my dad was from Southeast Louisiana. So he was very much traditionalist. He liked his filet.
Yeah.
And personal favorite would be poule and andouille gumbo.
What was that first one?
Poule. It's the Louisiana term for the American coot.
I don't know that I've ever heard that term before in my life.
You don't eat no coot, girl.
No, apparently not. Apparently not. Okay, so you learn something here every day. Number two, poolside or beachside?
Oh, definitely beachside.
That makes sense. In your line of work, I feel like if you would have set a pool, that would have come out of left field.
Oh no, I just want to put fish in it.
just want to farm something from it. Huh?
Absolutely.
Okay, and our last question, concert or comedy show?
Good question. I'm going to have to say concert because you never know what direction it's going to take.
Yeah.
I tend to like not really the big glam stuff. Sure. I'm more of a fan of some of the local bands.
Yeah.
Some of the New Orleans bands, big fan of Cowboy Mouth and that group. More of the smaller settings.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of more intimate feel.
Exactly. And a lot of great places to watch them here and how many concerts we have on the lakefront. Like, I can't stop plugging the lakefront concerts. Like, because if you haven't been to one, they're just awesome.
There's just a vibe to it.
When you get that perfect hour, when you're getting the world's greatest sunsets, which we have here with the music on the lakefront. It's just so perfect. Well, look, we're so thrilled that you're on the podcast to sit and talk about the Nature and Science Center at the brand new Port Wonder opening very, very soon. Tell us a little bit about your role, if you don't mind, and then what you're kind of excited for here in the coming weeks.
Well, my role is as the supervisor. So I bring a wealth of experience dealing with, primarily aquatic species and managerial background. I've also worked with public aquariums, so there's quite a bit of specialized equipment. I see my job changing in time to more of an outreach, dealing with the public more. But right now we're setting everything up and we're getting very close to being open. And I think I'm most excited for that grand opening and seeing what this place is going to be in 6 months.
Well, I think it's cool. We've had kind of some quick run throughs and all the fish weren't in the tanks yet and all of those things, but there's a lot of wildlife on display actually in your side of Port Wonder.
Let me tell you. Okay. So one of my key goals in taking the job and when I interviewed and when I accepted the position was I really wanted to be, this to be a showcase for Louisiana species. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to be necessarily the species that somebody looks at and says, oh yeah, I know what that is. You mm-hmm. know, I want to showcase the species that call Louisiana home that people don't necessarily think of here. I mean, I was 40 miles out of Grand Isle a few weeks ago, and you should see some of the fish that we now have on display. Mm-hmm. Louisiana is so unique, and we have so many different habitats, and this center is going to allow showcasing so many of those different habitats, different mm-hmm. species, and you know, things are going to change. We're not just going to stick with one. You know, well, we've got our bayou tank. Well, the bayou tank can be a stream tank, you know. Mm. We're going to keep things current, and I'm super excited. I don't think there's anything like this. I've certainly never been a part of anything like this, as intimate as this is.
Yeah.
And I think the potential is just monumental.
What do you think the first reaction from people when it opens up and they're walking in to this, you know, cool new thing to do in Lake Charles, what do you think their first reaction is going to be?
Tongue in cheek. I follow on social media.
Yeah.
It's going to be, there's an aquarium here?
Yeah.
but beyond that, I think the number one comment has been, oh, wow, we've needed this.
Yeah.
You know, we need, and Southwest Louisiana in general needs this. And this is, and it's, they're, we've done it right. I mean, it's amazing. The place is absolutely breathtaking.
Now, look, I know this is going to be hard for you. Name five of the species that we'll see on display.
Okay. Gray triggerfish, absolutely cool. They will photo bomb every photo, I promise.
Okay.
We will definitely have some of the more familiar ones, just because people are, you know, expecting to see some of that. So black drum, southern flounder, spotted sea trout, red drum. We have a freshwater aquarium. And one of the things I think is really cool, and this is more of the biologist side of me, is we have four different species of sunfishes, and it's so easy just to go, oh, those are a bunch of brim. Well, you know, they're different species, and yeah. they have different different traits and different, they feed in different ways mm-hmm. and whatnot. So we'll be highlighting some of that as well. But we certainly, you should see some of the things. You're going to be like, wow, that didn't come from the Caribbean.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have these here.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
that's one thing. So we got to kind of have a sneak peek of it mm-hmm. a few weeks back. We got to bring our kids in. And one of the fish in the touch tank were these little, they called them the Batman fish.
Oh, the sea robin.
The sea robin that kind of spreads its fins real fast. That is a cool fish that I'd never seen before. I've lived here my whole life. I've never seen this before.
First of all, we call him Howard.
Howard. He has a name. Apologies, Howard.
He's a ham.
Yeah.
The sea robin is, it's actually called a big-headed sea robin. There are several different species. This one's very common on our coast, and they're really cool. They do really well in touch tank settings. Yeah. They'll come up and almost just eat out of your hand. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a ham.
They were really cool. And yeah. And again, I've lived here my whole life. I've been to aquariums. I go to them pretty often now that I have kids. But this is something brand new for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't imagine how much you're going to introduce people who've never experienced something like this. You're going to be introducing them to a whole new world.
Oh, that's one of the main goals.
So beyond just the living, I would say, kind of exhibits, right? Mm-hmm. What other signature exhibits, interactive displays do you guys have?
Well, it's going to be ongoing. Right now, we have exhibits that focus on some of the programs mm-hmm. of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, like our hatchery program. And we do we spawn and release largemouth bass throughout the mm-hmm. state. We have a program with the paddlefish that is coordinated with the local schools, and they actually spawn the fish and then grow them and then release them. We have a display talking about the importance of barrier islands. I mean, Louisiana... You know, it's we mm-hmm. depend upon our barrier islands. One of the things I really like is we have we commissioned our own video game.
Okay.
And we call it Go Fish. I'll let you guess how we spell it. And you get to pick your own avatar, and you get to pick where you want to fish, the different habitats. You get to pick your baits. You actually get to fish, and there's a little screen for you to play on, but there's a big screen so all your friends can watch you.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it kind of hits, this exhibit kind of hits all ages too.
That is something that's very important to us. You know, I know you've probably heard that from the Children's Museum. This is not a one age or one age group type of thing. This is for everyone. This is for the family. This is for the youngsters, the older kids. We're trying to really appeal to everyone in a way that they get a little knowledge out of it too.
Sure. You know? Well, and that's the thing is that nature is for everyone from the very start to the very end of your life. You're pulling something different at all times from your surroundings, from nature, whether you are fishing or just enjoying or whatever.
Well, and one thing too about the Nature and Science Center is that, you know, if you go to an aquarium elsewhere, you may just be kind of on your own guiding yourself through it, right? Mm-hmm. But here you've got an expert at your fingertips walking you through this.
Yes, staff will be on hand, and we do have a volunteer program that's very important to us. So we will have our volunteers, but we'll also have staff on hand who will be out there with the public, with our visitors, and answering questions and promoting questions, which is my big thing. You know? Right. I like to give that leading question.
So. Yeah.
And is that the biggest enhancement that the fact that this is ran by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, is that expertise really the biggest bonus, I guess you would say, of this center? Is that that's where you see it the most?
I certainly see it as a big part of it. We have the public's trust. Mm-hmm. You know, as biologists, we're looking at not just safeguarding what Louisiana has now, but what we're going to leave to our children. And in order to do that, we also have to inspire our children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I'm really hoping that the Nature and Science Center becomes a kernel for that, a nucleus, so to speak, the beginning of a way to engage with everybody, but in particular our school age children, and you know, really teach a lesson of conservation and passing it on to that next generation.
And you talked about the educational opportunities as programs and workshops with schools in the area, right?
Absolutely. So we will be, you know, with the Children's Museum is heavily involved with the schools. Mm-hmm. So we'll be partnering with that. We will have age appropriate curriculums. We're talking about bringing in a lecture series, which is going to be really cool. We're going to be changing our displays up. They're not just going to be stagnant. We're going to change things up.
Right.
We'll have bio wagons, so to speak. So maybe we want to highlight a certain species, and we don't necessarily have a great place to put those on permanent display. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to highlight a species for a day and bring them out to the public and allow the public to interact with that species.
Oh, cool.
And that's going to really broaden what we can do and what we can show the public.
Sure.
Very cool. And inspiring those kids at a really young age. You said it's for everybody. It's for all ages, obviously, but getting them in at such a young age, you know, maybe it's the kids who are there for the Children's Museum, right? But you're catching them early, and you're inspiring them, and you're getting them interested in science. I mean, that's got to be, when you see their eyes light up, when you see that moment happen for them, that's got to be pretty, pretty big for you.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? I mean, it's not just an aquarium. Mm-hmm. It's not just fun, but it's a way to incorporate those things and throw a little awesome sauce in there, you know, mm-hmm. a little fun, a little cool factor. And you know what? You know, people are going to pick up on that, and kids are going to learn from that, and they're going to come back, and, you know, it can be, a lifelong just interest in our native state.
And this community already is as abundant as probably, I would say, any portion of Louisiana in our access to fresh brackish and salt water, the nature side with our forest that we have here too, and our campground. I mean, we have really everything. There's nothing that we don't have here. How do you see this Science and Nature Center contributing to this area with how much resources we have on the outside of it too?
Well, one of the things that, you know, we're going to be doing is we are going to be highlighting native species, and a lot of those are brought in here mm-hmm. locally. You know, people don't think of Louisiana necessarily. We do have 9 different distinct habitats in the state, and most of them are very close to where we are right now.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll be able to, we're going to highlight all that. We do have a display on ecosystems. We will be talking about our conservation success stories are
sure.
Black bear, whooping cranes.
Alligator.
Alligator is another one. Yeah, certainly.
Well, that's one that still blows me away when you read about how few that we had. I think it was in the 80s, yeah. Correct?
Well, prior to the 80s, yes.
And then the conservation now has it where we are the most abundant or yes. second most abundant.
Yes.
Which is proves just how much when you're focused and you're doing things the right way, you can completely change the trajectory of a species' life.
Oh, absolutely. It's just a modern day success story. And Louisiana did lead the nation on alligator conservation. They were the first to have a season for alligators. Mm-hmm. If we all know our swamp people. My uncle was an original, an OG swamp person. There's some great shots of him in Louisiana conservation back in 81.
But, that's great.
And then what we're doing now with the whooping crane is absolutely amazing. This is a species that was just right there, almost extinct. And it's not just, and now they're adding to the flocks. There's not just one little central flock. Now we have a Louisiana flock as well. So
that's very
really,
cool.
really cool.
And people don't realize when it gets down that low, The number's not in the multiple thousands. It's usually in the few hundreds where if you happen to see one, you're seeing like 2% of that, you know,
species
at one time.
Yeah.
That's just impressive that you kind of see it built back.
Yeah. Let's talk about our state bird. You know, that the brown pelican was brought back to Louisiana from next to nothing. They were decimated. And the Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fishery, did a really large scale restocking effort to bring the brown pelican back. And now they're literally everywhere.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It started at Queen Bess Island. It was the original rookery. And they had to go out of state to bring the pelicans in and rebuilt the pelican population in the state of Louisiana.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Resilient.
Well, and
maybe
important.
That's why he's the state bird now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're also a resilient folk. Okay, whatever. Cut this.
Okay, well, I can see the connection. No, this is good. Keep going.
Stop it. Leave me alone.
And so with that, like these are just stories, and I'm sure these stories will be finding ways over the next 10 years to be told in the Science Center. Mm-hmm. I feel like these are as good as any in inspiring and contributing to really the awareness of what we have and what you guys do and the curiosity. I guess that's obviously part of the plan of when you're able to switch out exhibits and whatnot, these type of success stories will be ones that are highlighted, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. We have so much to not just talk about the past, but the future, you know, and, it's my hope that the Nature and Science Center will be a big part of that. And, you know, who knows where we're going to go from here.
So is this unique? I mean, this particular type of endeavor, this is unique for wildlife and fisheries, right? For the state? Or do you have other partnerships that are kind of similar in other areas of the state?
No, I can say this is unique. This is we are blazing new trails and creating a blueprint to what I hope other areas and states can take advantage of. You know, we are a state agency, a nonprofit, and a city, and all came together for a common good cause. And it's new ground. We're learning every day, but when we got this, it's going to be a blueprint for who knows where we'll lead, you know?
And long-term goals-wise, what are y'all hoping to accomplish?
You know, I hope the Nature and Science Center becomes not just a public aquarium, but the beginnings of a message of conservation for our youth. You know, it's so important, you know, as the world kind of, we're changing, we're becoming more urbanized, we're becoming more, you know, technology based, that we really get back to nature. Yeah. And it's my desire that the Nature and Science Center is a really good first start for that. And I just see it just being that, you know, that hub to where we can just spread this message. And for it to be in Southwest Louisiana is absolutely incredible. Yes.
Why did it, the message of it, you, like we had talked about earlier, you saw it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a decade ago, so slowly being built.
what was so important to you? The passion that I can see in your eyes and hear in your voice that said, I have to be a part of this. I've got to move back and be a part of this.
I got into aquaculture because my dad was from Grand Isle, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And he talked a lot about how things were when he was a kid. And he pointed out how things had changed when I was a kid. And when I was in the junior high years, a lot of things changed conservation-wise along the Gulf Coast for the better. And it really is why I got into aquaculture. It really fostered a deep respect for our Gulf Coast and the species that live here. I got into aquaculture, and eventually I found my way back to that. And I always felt like Louisiana needed something like this. It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, Louisiana's got so much habitat, so many estuaries. We've got, the sportsman's paradise is, mm-hmm. Is what it's called. And if it's going to be anywhere, it needs to be here. And to represent the state and really promote a message of conservation while educating and entertaining is an amazing opportunity. And I recognized that when they first began talking about it, and I've just followed it. And then I was like, there's my shot.
This is it.
Yep.
Well, we're so glad that you took it for sure. How can listeners learn more about the Nature and Science Center?
Well, first let me say that we do have a volunteer program. I mentioned that.
Yeah.
And we're very, we love our volunteers, first of all, and they bring so much to the Nature and Science Center that their backgrounds are mm-hmm. incredible. We have well over a dozen volunteers right now, and they just span the gambit from students mm-hmm. through McNeese. And that's something else I want to just really point out. You know, we have McNeese here. We have a lot of universities in our area, and there are no fisheries like jobs. And, you know, we have a volunteer program, and who knows how that can grow.
Sure.
And so we're really hoping to have that be part of the Nature and Science Center as well, is to have these students be able to come in and get some real hands-on training.
Essentially, it's an internship for them, who might be looking for a career. Yeah.
We're hoping that it becomes that. And if you're just looking for information, mm-hmm. you can go to wlf.louisiana.gov and click on events and education. Mm-hmm. And if you look on the right-hand side of the screen, there's an icon with a picture of Port Wonder. And if you click on that, it'll take you straight to our page. There's
awesome.
Links for volunteering. There's descriptions of our exhibits. And it's a good place to start for sure.
Well, look, and before we let you go, I just mm-hmm. I want to commend the department, because it doesn't feel like this is just a checkbox. Oh, easy partnership. We'll be able to. Sure, this is how. There's a real plan, effort, design, and it's a true partnership. It seems like from the Wildlife and Fisheries Department that says, like, this is important, and it is to us, and we will have our resources there, and this will be something that we're hoping to grow alongside as well.
Oh, if I have spread any kind of a message today, that's it. this is besides just the opportunities that the Nature and Science Center provides, where we're going to go from here. I mean, this is a great stepping off point, and full commitment from our side. And I have a great team, and we have great volunteers and great location and a great city. And, the future is really what we're going to make it. So, yeah.
Thanks again to Jeff for joining us here on the show. But thank you most of all for taking time out of your day to join us on this here podcast. If you enjoyed the show, as always, please follow the podcast if you're not already, and leave us a rating, a review, or a comment. You know, different sites have different ways to interact. We love to read and hear about what you have to say, and we will write back as well. So yeah, let's do it.
That's right. Leave us a review. It always helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. And go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Porter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. C'est-tu.